This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Opening half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Yes, they take care of all your insurance needs. All of them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. They'll save you money, too. That's the other part. They'll save you lots and lots of money along the way, wherever they can, whether it's going over state lines, to get insurance where it's allowed. There are certain times it's allowed. And it could be bundles, whatever. They'll save you money. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I believe we have Matt today, correct?
That is correct.
And we're going to have him on soon, I would assume.
That is correct as well.
That's just terrific. He was actually on the sideline for the game. You could tell right away because when Julian made his catch, they're like, oh, who's that guy jumping up and down? Like, it's that guy. When I'd done that. Yeah, just me. All right. So should we take a break? That way we can give him free rein to the bottom of the hour to delay and inform the audience in the only way he could possibly do it.
You're driving, my friend.
Now let's take a break. Right? Let's pull over to the side of the road and let's see what the next part of the journey brings. And then we'll get to the Michigan player, former Michigan player, is filing a lawsuit against Big Ten Network and the NCAA. You'll love this. You know what they're suing over? The fact they're using their highlights and it's their name, image, and likeness. Like, really? Like get out of here. That's too far. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
And now the week's most concerning segment.
We're a little early yet. He's not quite here.
Oh, he'll get there.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
It gives me an opportunity to tell everybody that the Half Hour is brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Outstanding pros. They're just really good people. Customer service means everything to them. And because it does mean everything to them, they go out of the way for you. All at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And they do go out of their way for you. No question.
And Mr. Cotrillo is here.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Not bad, Steve Jones. And may I say, I very much enjoyed myself at Beach Stadium on Saturday. The crowd was awesome. The student section especially. Not the game we all expected, but hey, a W is a W, and it was a good time on Saturday.
It's amazing how the crowd really got into it. As soon as they like, okay,
the second half.
Right, there's a threat. Well, they responded. I mean, I thought the crowd was outstanding. And I'm sure where you were standing, because you didn't have headphones on, probably sounded even louder to you.
Oh, yeah, it was deafening. Like, I forgot that it was only the home opener against Bowling Green and thinking I was in the middle of the whiteout. Like, it was that loud down the sideline in the student section there. So the fans brought it, that's for sure.
So what's on your mind today? A dangerous question, but we'll ask it anyway.
Well, unlike Penn State, who actually found a way to beat a team they're supposed to beat, we go to my Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who had the worst loss to me, and one of the worst losses, I should say, because there's been a few of them, in program history. I mean, to lose like that to Northern Illinois, a 28-point underdog, for Marcus Freeman, that is a fireable offense. And let me tell you something. Marcus Freeman's job is on the line the rest of this year. At least it should be. Because this stat tells it all about Marcus Freeman. He loses for the third time at home as a massive, massive favorite. These stats were courtesy of Brett McMurphy. 28-point favorite to NIU last week. 16-point favorite to Stanford, losing in 2022. And losing then to Marshall. Of course, we all know that game. A 20-point favorite, also in 2022. You can't have that at all, let alone as a power, we'll call power four coach, let alone as the coach of Notre Dame, if you want to move this program forward. And we keep saying the same thing. We're here in this spot, and we're here to respond. You shouldn't be in this spot for a third time. It's one time for it to happen. For three times, then something's obviously not clicking with Marcus Freeman and this coaching staff. And this game is especially important against Purdue this week, because if Notre Dame comes out the way it did last week and either they win by a thread or they lose this game too, then this is really going to spiral out of control. But either way, if this loss prevents Notre Dame from making the college football playoff one way or the other, that should be it for Marcus Freeman. So he should be and better be coaching for his job the rest of the way, because when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, that stat tells you right there, this has been an unacceptable three-year tenure.
Did you call him and let him know this, or?
I don't think I need to call him. I think he's got other people calling him first ahead of me.
The one area where I would question their coaching staff is that with 6 minutes to go in the game and up one, they had a second down and one. I don't know, near midfield, somewhere in that area. And in the first three quarters of a game, on second down and one, you know, thinking about play action and maybe a deep ball. And by the way, you know, if it's not there, just get rid of it. That's fine. But you got 6 minutes to go in a one-point game. I feel like the most important element is to get the first down at that point, which gives you three more downs and more time to run off the clock. And I thought, for Mike Denbrock, that was a mistake in play calling right there. That did not take into account time, score, and situation. And that would be one that I would have questions about.
Totally agree, because Notre Dame was running the ball relatively well. It wasn't as good as the week before at Texas A&M, but they were still running the ball well. And at that point, you have to run the ball, especially when you're protecting a one-score lead, and keep running the football. And the second thing was, Riley Leonard was all over the place throwing the football.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that you're going to trust him in that spot? I don't care if it's second and one or fourth and one. You got to run the football there. So I 100% agree.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's just one where I sit back and say, okay, time, score, situation, the call didn't match up with what was actually needed to win the game at that point. I realize you're trying to go for the home run ball. If you do that, you can maybe put the game away. I've got that. But I think there's a time and a place for that. And I thought that working the clock and getting first downs, you could have still accomplished getting into the end zone while also taking the clock and bleeding it dry.
Exactly the case. And this is not the first time, and actually this has been a pattern, too, of these three eye-opening losses to these massive, massive underdogs, is these situations we're talking about right here. Time management, overall game management. I mean, these are besides players not coming out and playing their best, which clearly they didn't, this is the second issue that allows these things to happen. Everybody needs to be full throttle, ready to go, and not lollygagging. And that starts with the head coach on down. And that just didn't happen at all Saturday for Notre Dame.
Yeah. Well, again, there'll be a lot of reaction each week when something like this happens. Let's see how the full body of work plays out before we start eliminating teams from the college football playoff. Because we're in new territory. And because we're in new territory, we don't know what the committee thinks. And we don't really, there's no pattern to base anything on as to who's in, who's out. And the polls right now don't mean anything, only because these are not the people that vote in the playoffs. So that's always a point I make about polls at this time of the year. These aren't the people that vote in the 12 teams.
It is already so very interesting, Steve, of how the committee's going to choose these 12 teams or at least get this in order here because of what we saw last week. It was a wild week last week. There were a lot of wild upsets. And yeah. Of not just FCS over FBS, and obviously this what happened with NIU and Notre Dame, but there were a lot of other unranked teams on FBS beating ranked teams that maybe might have a shot later on down the line. So, and we're going to look back on this week too as maybe a make it or break it, depending on what the committee were decide to do. So this has gotten a whole lot interesting right off the bat, and we're only at week three right now.
Right, and so we'll see how it plays out. So what's next on your cavalcade of slice and dice?
Well, now I'm going to put a little tie the bow on the experiment, the bad experiment that was the NFL in Brazil, despite an Eagles win and a good Eagles win. But we've already talked about everything going in, the Friday night, the Peacock only, in another country, the crime issues, everything else, the stadium itself looking like a dump on the outside. And then the field pretty much just wrapped it all up. That field was atrocious for an NFL game, especially for a first one when you have a ton of guys out there on both sides of the ball, on both teams, that really didn't play a lot in the preseason. Now, that's a little bit out of the Brazil's control, but the bottom line is this is not the first time again that this has happened. Oh, by the way, in a South American country. We all remember the Mexico City game when it was Arizona and, Oakland. It was Oakland at the time and Kansas City, I believe. I mean, that field was awful enough that they had to postpone the game or maybe even cancel the game. I can't remember off the top of my head.
It was the Rams and Chiefs that played. They ended up moving the game to Los Angeles. And the irony is I actually watched the game in Mexico. I was in Cancun at the
time. Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's all come back to me now. Yeah. So now you go to this game in Brazil, and the field is so bad that it's clearly affecting play. Guys are slipping and sliding all over the place. It was the big reason why Barkley got going early, because guys were sliding all over the place on Green Bay side of things, and that's why Green Bay had the long touchdown pass to take the lead back. I think it was late in the first half, because Eagles defenders were slipping all over the place, and they finally changed shoes at halftime, and it looked like it got a little bit better. I mean, but again, this just goes back to, can we stop doing this to the NFL teams and to the fans? I mean, it's one thing for the fans, again, as we talked about this before, taking the game away from Eagles fans for a home game, making them have to pay to watch on Peacock or pay to go all the way down to Brazil if they so chose, and I don't know why they would do that, but they would have that option. And then the players sold the weird week to begin the season on a Friday night, and then to have the playing conditions the way they were. We need to stop with these experiments. And even when they play these games in Europe, Germany, England, wherever, those fields haven't been in the greatest condition either. It wasn't as bad as in Brazil Friday night. But this is just got to stop, or it's got to find a way to get better to work on these playing surfaces, because it's going to take somebody getting hurt, and it almost did with Jordan Love, though it was a hit from Jalen Carter that getting sandwiched there at the end. But the turf didn't help. It's going to take a non-contact injury probably to a key player that's going to change this.
Carter made a play?
He did at the end of the game there.
please. Sorry, that. No offense. I will always consider that a wasted pick. Simple
yes,
as that.
I'm aware.
It's a wasted pick. Howie can jump up up and down all he wants about it. No. First of all, he hasn't lived up to being a first-round pick just as a player. But no.
I do happen to agree. I mean, I didn't like the pick at the time either, but, so we are on the same page there.
I'll say this. The Eagles' defense was the first-round pick from Toledo. Is a terrific player. Really terrific. So that was a great pick.
I agree.
But a lot of that defense didn't play well. But they have so much offense, it's going to be difficult for them to have teams score lots of points against them, because the offense is going to have the ball and teams are going to be playing from behind. Bobby Witt Jr. against Aaron Judge, the MVP race, there they are, head-to-head. You, of course, have no idea who Bobby Witt Jr. is, because you're only focused on
I didn't know
Aaron
it until
Judge.
The Home Run Derby, to be honest with you. Now I know who he is, because he put on a show at the Home Run Derby.
Well, he was hitting 500 for a month. Like, not for a week or two. For a month, he hit 500. He leads the league in hitting right now. Plus, he's got the home runs, he's driven in 100 runs, and steals bases, great in the field, and, you know, he is the true MVP in the league. Oh, I
as
forgot.
As good as he is, I'm still on Aaron
okay.
Judge, I'm sorry.
Okay, we're going to go on the hype train? Okay. See, when Bobby Witt gets to the postseason, and the Royals aren't supposed to be there, and he's getting hits left and right, and your guy's striking out because he's just exhausted... I mean, not good.
As much as I don't doubt it, he still deserves the MVP over Bobby Witt. I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding with you. I really, as you know, I could care less who the MVP is.
Yes. You are not a postseason awards guy. Yes.
Just win games. Okay? Win games. That's what you got to do, especially in October. You got to win games. And that's what it comes down to now. Everybody remembers who the champion is. People don't remember who the MVP is.
Oh, you are 100% right about that.
Well, I know. That's why I said it.
A better friend would have warned you he was coming for you, Matt. I apologize.
I had to throw the Bobby Witt thing out there. I've been waiting for about 3 weeks to
do
it. Just to see how you'd react. And you mentally freaked out the way I thought you would. No! It's Aaron Judge!
I'm there to stand up for my guys.
Yeah, that's okay. Judge will probably end up being a unanimous MVP, and then we'll get to the postseason, and we'll go, okay.
And then we'll get after him for it.
Oh. You probably didn't like Tom Brady on Fox on Sunday.
Actually, I thought he did a pretty good job. I'm not on him like everybody else is. It takes time.
If you're turning 65 or retiring soon, it's
sorry,
time to
buddy.
Consider your Medicare option.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us this half hour, brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar. Led by my two personal favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. I'm going to start thinking about stocking up now. Because guess what? On Saturday, I'm going to have my feet up just watching games all day. No, I'm not putting up Christmas lights. No. That's what the second bye week's for. I am, I think, what did I say yesterday? I'm going to repair two parts of a fence and I'm going to take out a little bit more of a bush, and that's going to be it. It's not going to take a lot of time to do. Coup. That's my Saturday. And then after that, I'm trying to think, like, you know, I'd like to see Oregon State, but I guess West Virginia's playing Pitt. I might watch some of that at 3:30. Yeah.
I'm wondering what's going on with Oregon.
You know, it's first of all, let's start with this. On offense, they did have to do some rebuilding with their offensive line. They have a lot of speed on that team. I watched some of the playback, because I didn't see it live. I watched some of the playback yesterday on BTN of Oregon and Boise State. And they have the speed. Gabriel is obviously a good quarterback. You know, you look at the tailback up of the wideouts, like, man, they can move. But their offensive line appears to be a work in progress. And on defense, they're not in the position they need to be, which is a surprise for a Dan Lanning defense. I mean, Dan's a really good defensive coach. And that's what I think. That's what I thought was interesting. And they've got a game coming up with Oregon State that A is in Corvallis. Okay. There is the big side story as to you've been left behind, and they're going to be all out, that fan base there, because to them, you want to talk about like thinking a game is your Super Bowl, this game is going to be their Super Bowl because of what happened. Not, you know, just naturally Oregon State being so close. Corvallis and Eugene are not that far apart, but there's no Pac-12 anymore. Okay. So, I think that's going to be interesting. And That's what I find interesting. Now here comes a story that I think is really interesting. And the story is about the four Michigan players, former Michigan players, filing a lawsuit against the NCAA and the Big Ten Network. Okay? Because, of course, the NCAA, the settlement, which is right now on hold and circling a fogged-in airport, would give money to players from 2017 to 2023. Okay. According to the Detroit News, and Angelique Shingles, who wrote the story, former Wolverines Braylon Edwards and Denard Robinson are part of a $50 million class action lawsuit that has been filed against the NCAA and the Big Ten Network. In the lawsuit, the former players allege that they were unlawfully denied the right to profit off their NIL. Okay. The 2016 cutoff for the organization's $2.8 billion settlement with former players is at issue here. The lawsuit was filed this morning in the U.S. District Court, Eastern District of Michigan, claims they are entitled to a present and future share of any revenue generated from the use of their publicity rights. This is not a suit against the University of Michigan, said attorney Jim Acho, who is representing the players in the lawsuit, according to the Detroit News. None of the many former players wanted to sue UM, and neither did I. It is the NCAA that perpetuated this wrong for decades. They knew it was wrong to prevent players from capitalizing on the most valuable thing that they have, their name and image. Okay, am I wrong here? Did Braylon Edwards and Denard Robinson not play in the National Football League?
Denard didn't for long.
No, he played for a few years with Jacksonville and others. I mean, never beat Penn State, I know that. That has been rectified for current players, but the NCAA needs to correct the wrongs of the past. Today is the day to recompensate. Ugh. In addition to Edwards and Robinson, former linebackers Sean Crable and Mike Martin have joined the class action suit. Martin told the paper, the reason why we're doing this is because it's not fair for what we had to go through, just like other athletes. The $2.8 billion settlement that recently went through the cutoff of 2016. That's also making me think, because, like, what about the eras before 2016? Former Michigan player's lawsuit is similar in nature to the lawsuit filed by former Ohio State linebacker Chris Spielman. He filed that against his alma mater in 2017. And members of the 1983 NC State men's basketball team filed against the NCAA this past summer. Spielman ultimately settled for $140,000 in 2018, while the lawsuit from ex-Wolfpack players remains ongoing. A key difference in the Michigan lawsuit is that it also involves Big Ten Network. While the ex-players made it clear they aren't accusing their alma mater of wrongdoing, that they may ultimately prove to be a distinction without a difference as the Big Ten, which Michigan is obviously a member of and owns 39% of the network. I think because they're claiming their highlights are on BTN, not just live games, but also the highlights. Well, no offense, those games and those highlights help get you drafted. Last I checked.
I guess the devil's advocate argument would be they pay sitcom people when they show repeats.
Right. It's built into their contracts. Nah. Well, these guys don't have contracts.
No.
And that would be the one thing I look at it right away. So you didn't have a contract. Right? If you had something written down, right? Then it would be plausible. But you didn't. What you signed was a letter of intent to play. And in return, you were able to get your education for free. And that's what you signed. Again, I keep going to back to what's signed. People act like signing something now today is no big deal. Like, what kind of idiot are you to have that kind of attitude? You have to be an idiot to sit there and go, well, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you signed. Yeah, you signed it for a reason. It's called a contract. This argument comes up with the grant of rights thing all the time when we talk about the TV part of it. You signed it. Sorry, you signed it. If you were against it, you don't sign it. Last I checked, that's how it works. People act too... People are too cavalier about agreements today. Stop being so cavalier about it. If you don't want to do it, don't sign it. I mean, they aren't releasing hostages one by one until you sign. Just like I always said with Ryan Howard, people are like, oh, yeah, he took all that money from the Phillies. When they negotiated the deal, he wasn't releasing people one by one until the Phillies agreed to it. They both sides said yes. That's the same thing with this. It didn't exist back then. I'm not saying it's right or wrong whether it existed or not. It has nothing to do with it. It didn't exist. And we all know that the NCAA has been kicking the can down the road. But here's my issue with it. When you start going back before 2016 over and over and over again, you know who that's going to hurt?
2024 and beyond?
And it's going to hurt the Bucknells of the world. Where do you think that money's coming from?
If they have to pay retroactively back to like the 2000, it's gonna kill everything.
That's it. You're done.
Yeah.
Forget about the NCAA basketball tournament. Forget about you're gonna have schools playing club sports because of stuff like this. And I realize the problem here is the players from 16. From 17 to 23, so it's 17 to 23, they also did sign letters of intent, but they're included in this suit. So the NCAA agrees to do it. Okay, so I understand that part. Well, they signed the same agreement we did, but they're getting money. Okay, so I understand the logic behind it, but there has to be a limit here. At some point, there has to be a limit. And, hey, guess what? How come they're not suing Michigan?
My first thought when you said it, I can't believe at least Denard isn't suing EA Sports. They created a whole campaign around him for one season of NCAA college football.
Right, exactly. They did. But this is... I sit there and I see this stuff like over and over and over again. First of all, Denard Robinson made, and so did Braylon Edwards, they made money in the NFL. Like, and who is, if more money is shifted in this direction, who does that hurt? You said the future players. You're right about that. But it's going to hurt a Bucknell more than it's going to hurt a Penn State. Bucknell needs its NCAA tournament basketball distribution. They need it. They need it for all their student athletes. All of them. That's not a basketball. Okay. That's not a basketball distribution. It's a distribution because of basketball, but it helps the entire athletic department. Helps the golf program. Helps the football program, helps, everybody. Right? And now you have this? Well, we want our cut. Your cut of what? You signed a letter of intent. Okay? Did they fulfill their obligation to you on food, room, board, you know, football, giving you the best chance to get to the next level, whatever? Did they fulfill that? Yeah, they did. Denard Robinson got to the next level. Braylon Edwards absolutely got to the next level. Now, what you did with the money from the next level, that's the question I would have. What did you do with the money? Why do you need it? I mean, that's a question that needs to be asked. Okay? Excuse me. What did you do with your NFL money? And don't tell me that's not relevant. If they say they've invested well in the whole thing, there's a principle behind this, okay. Then you have to move on from that question. But you have to ask the question, what did you do with the money you made? I mean, the job you got after you left Michigan is a much higher paying job than the vast majority of Michigan graduates get in their first few years out of school. Right? I mean, there's got to be a limit to this at some point. There's got to be. Because all it's doing is, okay, it's hurting other people. Now, I don't think they care about that. But again, why didn't they sue Michigan?
Because they don't want to hurt Michigan, in theory.
Right, but they're going to sue other people? Why don't you sue Michigan?
I'm wondering if the lawyer's a Michigan grad, too.
I think he is.
All right.
Yeah, I think he is. But they didn't want to sue the school. But they want to sue BTN. Really? What, because they show great highlights of the past? It's like, come on. This is another reason why you need to have collective bargaining, you need to have contracts. You have to spell out these things in contracts. For example, it is spelled out, I can tell everybody, it's spelled out in my contract that any highlights that are used by ESPN, Fox, SiriusXM, and so forth, right, they're allowed to give that away, and I have no right to them. Okay. I have no problem with that. No matter to me. I mean, I signed it in good faith. In my highlights, I'm fortunate I'm with a program that has a lot of highlights that people want to use. I mean, I was on a show on Labor Day, and they were playing back highlights on that which is, I don't care. That's why I'm not quite in tune with this part of it. There are certain times you sit back and go, you know, that's not right. And this is one of those times. I kind of look at this and go, that's not right. My opinion. Maybe people out there have a different opinion, but I think there is a limit where things go too far. This is one of those where I think it's gone too far. You want to sue EA Sports, but Robinson and those guys are already a part of that lawsuit anyway, and got money from it. They did. I mean, everybody got money from that. It wasn't a lot, but people did get money. So Robinson did get money from that.
That's the other thing that's tough, keeping track of all the lawsuits.
Right, but I mean, everybody that was involved in the EA Sports game, it was a nominal amount. I mean, very, very little. But everybody did get a check for it. So, I don't know. This one screams greed. And others scream other things. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll be busting through
through the snow this winter with these incredible all-wheel drive savings. Lease a third-row seat all-wheel drive Santa Fe for only $450 a month for 36 months. Choose a 2024 all-wheel drive Sonata for only $29,674. Or a 2025 all-wheel drive Kona for just $28,968. Looking for a compact truck? Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 Santa Cruzes in stock with savings up to $1,774. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles.
We're not done.
Lease an 80 MPG Hyundai Tucson plug-in hybrid for only $465 a month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors has 53 Tucsons available. Hard to believe it, but winter is just around the corner. And now is the time to save big money on your next new all-wheel drive Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
36-month leases are 10,000 miles a year with $4,000 down. See dealer for details.
All right. Back to work tonight for the Penn State football team. They did do their usual Sunday practice. They were off yesterday. They're back tonight. And Kent State, meanwhile, is to play at Tennessee coming up. Tennessee's playing great football, including a really decisive win over NC State. That was a really impressive win for Tennessee. And they're off to a terrific start. And they'll get Kent State this week. Kent State, of course, did lose to St. Francis. So that's what's coming up. Neil Coulong, next half hour. The NFL, there have been a lot of field goals in the opening week. Jake Moody hit 6 last night. And we all know about Chris Boswell hitting 6 against the Falcons. We always talk about it takes 3 field goals to beat a touchdown. I mean, so in other words, that's 3 drives you have to put together to get 3 field goals as opposed to 1 drive that gets you a touchdown. When you look at the Atlanta Steelers game, there was only 1 touchdown scored in the game, and it was by Atlanta, and they didn't win the game. Last night, the Jets actually scored 3 touchdowns, and the 49ers scored 2, yet because of the 6 field goals, 49ers won. Now, were they the better team? Yes. No question. But it's an interesting one-week trend. And the kickoff thing, I just find it to be bizarro world. That's just me. And the fact that you can't onside kick unless you announce it, and the circumstances around it, I don't like that either. But that's me. It's a one-year experiment. We'll see what they think.
They certainly didn't expect that many touchbacks.
Oh, I did.
Well, yeah.
I did. I thought they'd be touchbacks. Like, the heck with this. I'm not going to, you know.